My next guest is Daniel Miller, who is an educator and author of Lovability, an empowered girl's guide to dating and relationships. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
Okay, this is, as I understand, to help those in their teenage years through the perils, as you describe, of heartache, crushes and self-esteem.
Absolutely, and what a needed resource. I mean, obviously as a woman myself, I can, you know, completely understand that teen girls today, more than ever, need some guidance to understand how to make sense of their hearts.
Well, I've got three daughters, two teenagers, so I need to be armed, I feel, so help me here.
Well, this is it. I mean, and fathers in particular do often feel they need to be almost physically armed, sitting on the, you know, front veranda with a shotgun.
I haven't got to that stage yet.
But we know that the research shows us, look, the reality is that teens, and particular teen girls, will think about, talk about, and be involved in relationships from a younger and younger age.
Well, that's
and
true.
The answer isn't, you know, forbidding and shotguns. The answer is conversation, dialogue and education.
Yeah, my daughter comes home and one of my daughters, 16, she, even at the age of 14, suggested that some of her mates at school were going out with boys.
Yeah, look, the research shows again that teens and tweens, I mean, so girls from as young as 12, are engaging in relationships. In fact, we know that around 40% of girls from 12 to 14 are already in what they consider to be relationships. And not all of them are necessarily healthy or happy. So we, as adults and mentors, need to really provide them with some skills to understand how to make sense of that confusing world that we all struggle with. And given the fact that there is a crowded curriculum in schools, they often don't get the skills they need to understand how to navigate that, you know, tumultuous path.
Okay, well, I guess tonight I'm asking you for a broad brush approach because we don't have time to go right into it all. But let's look at teenage girls. Let's look at a situation where they like a fellow, they ask him out, and they think it's going to all flourish, and it all falls in a heap.
And look, that's the nature of the human experience, and I guess that's one of the key messages in our book, is that we will experience in our lifetimes many disappointments, sadly, whether they be of a romantic relationship or through our careers or through our friendships. And what is important is our resilience, our understanding of how we can come back from those. So rather than, I guess, you know, lamenting that, I mean, obviously there's a strong sense of empathy within the book, but we really do want to empower girls to know, look, this is the part of the human experience. This is natural. It will feel like the end of the world, but it isn't. You can pick yourself back up.
Easier said than done with some of them, though, isn't it?
Oh, look, and this is why I think our writing really has resonated with girls, because we come from a place of absolute experience and heartbreak. I co-wrote this with my colleague Nina Fennell, and as a teen girl at 16, I broke up with the great love of my life. I'd been out with him for 2 years.
And 2 years at 16?
Well, that's it. And in my mind, this was it. I would never love anyone as much as I would love him. And when he broke up with me, I was completely shattered. And all the adults around me sort of said things, I think, you know, with well intention, saying things like, look, you'll get over it, you'll meet many other people. And of course that was true, but I had no experience or understanding.
Easy for them to say.
That's right. I mean, people dismiss these experiences as puppy love or being trivial, but yet our experiences as teen girls around relationships are really fundamental, because they establish for us a foundation for how we will relate further on down the track.
Yeah, that's a really good point you raise, that last point. Do you believe that, I mean, that was quite, would I be right in suggesting that was quite a long relationship for you, 2 years at the age of 16?
Absolutely. I mean, and since, you know, I have separated from my ex-husband, but that was a 13-year marriage. But even that ending wasn't in many ways as traumatic, because I had, by then, an experience that you do heal, that you do, these things do pass. And I had developed, you know, the hard way, I guess, some strategies around how do you get over this? How do you get out of bed? How do you cope? But
do you believe you cope? You only cope because it's happened to you a number of times, and I don't know how many times it's happened to you, but if it happens to you a number of times, obviously you've got to pick yourself up out of the dust each time. And that's I'm not right. suggesting it gets easier, but you know what to expect, perhaps.
Well, that's right. And you do at least learn that you have more resilience than perhaps you realise you have at a very young teenage. And you really need someone, rather than dismissing your feelings as being trivial or unimportant or not relevant, to acknowledge this. Yeah, this hurts. This is your first experience of heartbreak. This is your first experience of trauma and tragedy. And there are some strategies. You know, collectively we all know there are things we can all do. I mean, we give girls very concrete strategies. You know, you can really move through that grief cycle from denial through to forgiveness. You can really put things into perspective that will help you to move forward. And unless you're shown how to do that, how would you know? And why should it be that tough? Because, by goodness, teens today are dealing with enough without having to deal with matters of the heart, without having at least some, I guess, education that can support them to do that.
Do you think or believe that teens today are a little more savvy than perhaps we were at their age?
Oh, look, I think in some ways, yes, in that they have access to a broad range of information through the internet, but that doesn't necessarily equate with knowledge or wisdom. And I do believe that they are bombarded with messages which aren't always helpful. And certainly teen girls say to me that they find dealing with relationships today very difficult, and some of the things that they tell me that they find difficult, I didn't have to deal with. So, for example, girls will say to me, look, one of the hardest things is if you break up with someone, you have to put on Facebook that you're no longer in a relationship and everyone will comment, or you have to change your relationship status, and then that can be quite traumatic. And it's all very public today, you see. And it's all very concrete. And
that's a good point, isn't it?
Yeah, and girls will say, I mean, horrible things. Like
you're in the spotlight almost.
Well, one girl said to me, and it was just awful, but she said, you know, my ex-boyfriend is sending me pictures of him and his new girlfriend via text message.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, charming. But, you know, that's not something that we would have had to deal with, as awful as it was, experiencing
heartbreak. But he must be a nice piece of work to do that. I mean, that's just something you wouldn't think of doing. I mean, most try and, for whatever reason, either if it's unsavoury, we'll just let each person go their own way. But on the other hand, if it's just come to an end, the very least you can be is friends. Surely to goodness, we've got a moral responsibility to be decent to each other.
Well, that's what we try and encourage girls, you know, and boys to do, and to understand that although it can seem very simple to text someone and just say, you know, you're dumped, or it can seem...
Well, that's
simple.
The other thing. I mean, that,
and, but it's not. I mean, these are real human emotions.
That never used
these
to.
Words,
that
yeah.
never used to be the case. You'd
no.
sort of have a discussion about it and arrive at that decision. But these
that's
days,
right.
as you suggest, it's a text.
It's so easy.
Or
and,
an email.
You know,
80%
of young people will say that's how they break up
lucky.
With each other, is through text.
Yeah, or if you're lucky, an email.
Yeah, that's right. Rarely face to face. And there's a courage that comes with knowing how to do that, and there's a responsibility that I think should come with that. I mean, unless, of course, you know, you believe that your partner could be potentially dangerous or going to be acting irresponsibly.
Yes.
But
well, there's another issue you've got to consider with, I suppose, girls who are 16, 17 going out with guys a little bit older than them.
Well, not even older. I mean, sadly, and this was quite shocking to me, even as an educator of many years' experience, we know that a third of girls by the age of 15 will have experienced violence within relationships.
Goodness me, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the majority of girls that are in relationships by that age will not tell their parents they are in relationships because they fear that their parents will ban them from those. So that then breeds secrecy. And they don't want to tell their parents when things are going wrong because they fear they'll be in trouble.
Daniel, just let me hold you there. I've got a break. I've got to get in. I'll come back and talk some more with you.
Yeah,
Daniel Miller is my special guest, and she's got this new publication called Love Ability, and it's to help, well, young ladies through dating and relationships, particularly in the teenage years. We'll come back and find out some more wonderful, wise advice from Daniel in just a moment.
We're talking Brisbane.
The leader in news, sport and talk.
4BC is Brisbane.
I'm a special guest on the Good Relations program and health and wellbeing tonight. Diane Miller talking about Loveability, her latest offering. Diane, you mentioned just before we went to the break about girls sometimes being a little secretive with regard to their relationships. I guess it's very important for parents to communicate, but, well, it's very hard for dads in some instances, I guess, but for mums to at least be trying to be close to their daughters.
Yeah, it's Danielle, by the way.
Who did I call you?
You call me Diane, but that's
okay. Oh, sorry,
okay.
Danielle, yes, of course, yes.
Look, yeah, it is. It's difficult for both parents, I think. I mean, at the end of the day, we want to feel, and naturally so, very protective of our young people, particularly our daughters. We fear that they can be quite vulnerable, and we sometimes do fall into that sort of lock them in a tower approach. We know it's not going to work. As I said, the research clearly shows that all that does is create secrecy. And the risk then is that if something goes wrong, young people will be too scared to reveal that. And things do go wrong. As I said, many young people have experienced violence and dysfunction in relationships.
That is really concerning, that stat.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and it's concerning, particularly because we know that statistics around violence and women tend to be underreported rather than overreported. So the reality is probably even more alarming.
You'd think with all the, excuse me interrupting you, yeah, but you'd think with all the publicity around about, you know, yeah, one punch can kill and violence is not the way to go, walk away, all this sort of thing, that we'd eventually get through to some of these young folk.
Yeah, you would hope so.
I sound like an old fuddy-duddy, don't I? But it's something that's really concerning that it's still happening in the proportions that you're talking about.
And particularly with young people. And I think that's because, well, partly, I mean, look, there's a myriad of reasons, but one of the factors is that we do not have good relationship education. We may provide children with sex education, so they may be in a situation where they're, you know, labelling where the ovaries might sit on a diagram or talking about you know, the birds and the bees, so to speak, but we don't really explicitly explain, you know, what does consent look and feel and sound like, how do you set boundaries with another person, how do you enjoy being single, all the sorts of things that are really fundamental to being healthy and whole. We just do not explicitly teach that. And I guess that's why Nina and I were so keen to do exactly that, because we both have worked with young people for so many years and seen just a huge gap in understanding, where we're teaching kids ad nauseum almost about anatomy, but very little about their feelings, emotions and how to deal with those.
Hmm. It certainly can be an issue, because at school it's really almost glossed over, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Well, relationships are. I mean, you learn lots in biology, and you learn, I don't know what they term it now, but, you know, my kids have said, yeah, you learn this and you learn that, but you really don't learn about relationships.
And increasingly less so, because we now have a very crowded curriculum. So back when I was in the classroom, 12 years ago, there may have been more opportunity, but at the moment we're dealing with a very dense curriculum, and we're also dealing with a lot of external examinations. So kids are doing, you know, various external exams and certificates. So teachers just don't have the time to teach these sorts of skills, and young people don't always learn these skills at home. You know, parents are busy too, or they may not be in great relationships themselves. They certainly don't see healthy relationship modelled on TV or in drama or in movies or in books, because often it is the heightened dysfunction of relationship that's elevated to make good viewing or, you know, good reading. And so this stuff really does need to be taught. And it's so fascinating to us the response we've had, because often it's parents and teachers who are reading Loveability and saying things like, oh my gosh, if I had read this 5 years ago, I wouldn't have ended up divorced, or I wouldn't have ended up in that particular relationship. And you think, gosh, we all have a lot to learn. And I certainly, as an adult, learnt so much interviewing various psychologists and various teens and researchers in, you know, in these areas. And it was absolutely illuminating.
Is there any one thing, Daniela, that you picked up that is worth sharing with us tonight? Or
yeah,
are there just,
know,
so many things?
Yeah, well, look, lots. But for me, personally, I have a teenage daughter as well. She's almost 15. The key message that I try and give her is around what defines lovability. So the idea of lovability, we've all been told and almost brainwashed to believe, is defined by our looks. our, you know, hotness factor, how thin we are, how sexy we are, and if we can meet particular criteria, then that will equal we'll get the right guy and there'll be a happy ever after. And that's just a complete nonsense and a complete myth. And what makes us lovable is so much more than just our looks.
Of course, well, I try and, as a parent, hit that home every day.
Yeah, and look, and as parents we can do so much, but what's really important is to also show young people what the research says. And the research says, interestingly enough, believe it or not, guys don't just want one thing. Guys do want a friend, someone they respect, someone who they think has got a great sense of humour, someone who shares common interests, who they can talk to. So they're not that dissimilar to girls.
No.
But the myth that, you know, guys only want one thing and girls just want to get married, that's just all a nonsense and it's not helpful to either gender. The reality is that what makes us lovable are many factors. It's multifaceted. And the more we can connect boys and girls and respect them both as being whole beings, not just bodies, the more likely we are, I think, to be able to develop positive, nurturing relationships that will serve both sexes well.
Now, you go into schools, as I understand, and talk on a regular basis about what we're discussing tonight. With your discussions, what would be the most important thing that comes out of those discussions when you're face to face with these teenagers that they have concerns about?
Well, being February, the big thing I had to deal with was how do you cope with being single at Valentine's Day? And that might sound silly to us as being, you know, somewhat older, but for teens.
Well, now with Facebook, and as you say, you're in the spotlight.
Yeah.
What do you do?
That's it. Are you single? Are you in a relationship? As I say, no, I'm awesome. You know, it's almost irrelevant. But look, it is the whole notion, Valentine's Day puts a lot of pressure on young people. As the school formals, there's, you know, always key occasions throughout the year that will really put the pressure on. And it's important for girls and boys, but, I mean, I particularly work with young women, to understand that historically being single has been demonised for women. You know,
why is that?
Well, if you look back to the Middle Ages, I mean, in the Middle Ages, you know, single women were accused of being witches and they could be burnt because they didn't have a man to protect them.
I know, but, I mean, it's, you know, if it's okay for men to be single, why shouldn't it be that way for women?
Well, absolutely, but it historically hasn't been the case. And historically, marriage was really more about financial security than it was about romance. So families would align themselves based on political you know, strategy. So single women were very vulnerable.
Thank goodness it's all changed. Exposed.
Pardon?
Thank goodness it's all changed.
Well, has it? I don't know. I mean, if you look at the language we use around single men, they're all bachelors and studs and, you know, they're having a great time, and single women are supposedly...
Look, that's a bit of...
cats and they're kind of crazy.
I reckon there's the odd one, but if you ask me, some of the single blokes I know, that's... Yeah, so, sure, some of them have been married and are now happy that they're on their own, but it's a bit of a myth that they're all, you know, kicking up their heels and having just a fabulous time. Might be the odd night here and there, but that's about it.
Oh, absolutely. And that's what we need to do, debunk these stupid, unhelpful myths that aren't working for either gender.
But it's interesting that pressure you suggest with young people, that if they don't have a boyfriend, that, you know, it's a bit of pressure through the 16, 17, 18 years, whereas I suppose...
Oh, when it starts even younger, love. I mean, there'll be girls in primary school who'll say to me that other girls get sent roses to school or...
Really?
You know, the boys are giving out flowers and teddy bears and they carry these around all day almost as tokens of their worth or their validity.
Goodness gracious me. But yet in their late 20s and 30s, girls, you know, whether they're single or in a relationship, it doesn't... You really don't care. They're sort of focusing on their careers and good on them. And some are married with children and others are looking at their career and happily doing it.
Yeah. Look,
we don't judge them, do we?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I do think that culturally we do tend to be quite dismissive of single women, not so much in their 20s and 30s.
Do you really
think
so?
They've got, well, yeah, I do. I mean, if you look at the stereotypes around sort of men in their late, you know, 60s, they can still almost be seen as almost Hugh Hefner-like, you know, possible playboys. They can still get a younger token wife if they're lucky or they've got the cash. But, you know, by the time women are getting older, culturally, we tend to dismiss them as really being past their use-by date. That is slowly changing, as you say, but it hasn't completely changed. And certainly, certainly, young girls feel that because they see presented to them in the media very little modelling of older women who are successful. They predominantly see youth celebrated, particularly in females. Look at newsreaders and journalists. I mean, you know, men can do that sort of a career for many years and be brilliant and prominent at it, but it's rare that women can achieve that same status for as long. So there is still certainly some work to be done, and I don't.
So there's still pretty strong sexism in society.
I think there is, and ageism generally. Yeah, yeah. That women experience,
which is a bit sad. It's a bit sad when you think about it, because, you know, it doesn't diminish their ability in any way, shape or form.
No, absolutely not. But yet they feel pressure, you know, to engage in the Botox and the trying to keep themselves.
Well, that's another thing. It's a bit crazy the way. I mean, you know, if people choose to do it, it's up. You know, it's a free world, but it's a bit crazy that they feel pressured to do so.
Yeah, and I think they do, because they understand that culturally they may not be perceived as relevant if they don't look youthful, whereas a man would be perceived as being perhaps more wise or knowledgeable as he ages. And these are old stereotypes, but yet they're not completely diminished by any means. Now, you only have to look at statistics around participation in things like media and leadership to know that they're still very true and prevalent. And girls do see that. I mean, that's the world that they're exposed to. The models that girls see are all teens. I mean, really, by the age of 20-something,
that's a good point. Yeah,
has been.
Yes, yeah. It's a good point. A lot of the girls, too, the young teenagers, don't realise the work that's been done on some of those photographs in terms of
airbrushing. Oh, not at all. Yeah. And I think even as adults, we don't. I mean, I work with girls, as you said, I work with 20,000 girls a year across Australia and New Zealand and Singapore. We do a lot of work in Queensland and Brisbane. And the interesting thing is that even the adults we work with are shocked when we actually go and deconstruct just how much work are done on these images. So the average number of changes they would make to an already genetically gifted woman that's had professional hair and makeup, so she's got a big head start to begin with here, would be 40. The average change, 40 things about her, beyond her beauty and beyond her makeup and hairstyling, that would be manipulated to make her impossibly perfect and completely unobtainable. And yet even the savviest of us would be shocked by that. And
it's sort of an unreal world for anybody to even identify with and try and emulate, isn't it?
Well, the camera always lies.
Yes.
And I think as a teenager, whether you're a boy or a girl, being an adolescent and having your body change is very difficult.
Well, that's that brings into play another set of circumstances, doesn't it? The way the body changes throughout those years.
And if what you're exposed to is an airbrushed artificial perfection, and that's what you are comparing yourself to, then you will despair. It will be compare and despair. You will not measure up.
No,
you
well, look, the book,
as lovable.
The book is called Lovability. Danielle Miller, I think you got your name correctly
you
there.
You did.
It's late at night for me, Daniel.
That's all right. You've been delightful, so you're welcome to mispronounce my name anytime you'd like.
Oh, you're very kind. Now, if people were... Obviously, they've got to get out and buy you a book at a good bookshop, but I guess it can be purchased online. Do you have a website?
Absolutely, and the good thing is we've got free iPhone apps and blogs and a whole range of
devices. Oh, this
devices.
Is wonderful. Okay.
So if they go to enlighteneducation.com, they can read chapters from our books and download a whole plethora of free resources. Because for this generation of young people, you've got to connect where they're connecting, which is Instagram, YouTube, you know, Facebook. Those are the mediums that they're connecting with.
So enlighteneducation.com.
Yeah.
Just I'll be clicking on there a bit, I can assure you. All right, listen, lovely talking with you. We must get you on again sometime.
I would love to speak to you. You're a delight. You're very much the new age man.
Oh. Thank you. No, I'm serious in what I say. I think it's crazy, those old archaic views. It makes me wonder about whether we're, you know, sort of whether we've moved much in society, to be honest, when I hear those stats that you reel off there. Anyway, we can only talk about it, and hopefully eventually it'll catch somebody's ear.
And look, all we can do, as you say, is talk and create change that way. So it's a really powerful conversation to have.
Nice talking with you.
Bye-bye.
There she is from Lovability. That's the publication. Danielle Miller, and it's enlighteneducation.com. Interesting lady, and so right in what she says. This is News Talk 4BC. It's 25 minutes to 10.